You were just listening to selections from 9/11, A Memorial Suite featuring Gamelan Son of Lion. The music was by my guest Barbara Benary, Laura Libin, and Daniel Good, and that was from an Innova 2-CD set titled Sonogram, Gamelan Son of Lion. Here is the weather forecast for the Princeton area from the National Weather Service. This afternoon, we will have scattered showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 86. West wind between 6 and 8 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation this afternoon is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely before 2 a.m., then a slight chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 65. South wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm. Chance of precipitation tonight is 60%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and half of an inch possible. And tomorrow, Thursday, a beautiful day. It will be partly sunny with a high near 79. Calm wind becoming east between 5 and 8 miles per hour. We currently have fair skies and 87 degrees at Mercer County Airport in Trenton. Well, good afternoon. It is 6 minutes after 12 on Wednesday, August 3rd, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries Goes Avant Garde. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you for this show every Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Today, I am being joined by Barbara Benary. And Barbara, we will be talking with you just more in just a moment. Okay, I am being joined by Barbara Benary. Barbara, welcome back. It is great to have you here. And let's talk a moment about notation in this music.
Okay. In this music or Gamelan in
general? Gamelan in general.
Basically, you can notate it any way you want. And there is a traditional notation used in Indonesia that was developed in the post-colonial era, which is called Kepatihan. Kepati means a prime minister, and this notation system, which is largely borrowed from the Chinese system, is accredited to him. It consists of basically numbers. You number the degrees of your scale, and you use certain, I'd call them diacritical markings, like underlining or double underlining to indicate rhythm, and dots and things like that. The big difference between this notation and what we're used to is what they call, you know what a downbeat is if you're doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. It's reversed. So basically, the emphasis is at the end of a group of four. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, which that's the thing that drives people off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, we've used different means. I think for many years we would use that, and we would also use a kind of westernized version of it where it's more like the Chinese, that the downbeat is shifted to the first of a group. So we had number notation. For contemporary pieces, some of the pieces, the composer would simply write instructions. It starts this way, this happens, that happens, this is the diagram it follows, all those wonderful avant-garde kind of notations. And then a third thing happened, that sometimes people would write things on a staff, and the staff, of course, does not lend itself so well to gamelan because the gamelan is not diatonic. So we would kind of supplement this by writing the nearest pitch on the staff and then writing the number that goes with the note underneath it. So it's a combination of staff and number notation. Ultimately, this has become our more or less default way of operation. Particularly, everybody discovered how to use Finale, the notation program.
Gee whiz, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea for some pieces and not for others.
Right.
But at this point, more and more pieces are getting notated that way. So that's become our default. I've worked out a scale that is closest to the sound of our gamelan.
Right.
And that's used. It might not work for everybody's gamelan because one of the cool things about Indonesian gamelan is that no two sets have to be tuned the same way.
Oh, there's a challenge involved in the words.
Right.
A big one. Well, Barbara, let's go now. We've been doing a tremendous amount about gamelan music up until this point, but you've written other works other than pieces for gamelan, correct? Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us just a bit about some of the other things
you've done? Okay, aside from the theater things, which were generally based on songs and accompaniments, I'm a violinist, and so particularly recently, I've started writing things for strings and for a string quartet. And what else can I say?
Well, that's a good start.
That's a good start, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I've written numerically at my gamelan repertoire way outnumbers my non-gamelan repertoire, but I've tried to do my best to adapt things. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the piece you're going to be playing is a piece that started out as a gamelan piece.
Good segue, by the way, if I could say that.
Because I kept thinking of Harry Partch, the wonderful experimental instrument composer from the West Coast. I feel like he painted himself into a corner. He wrote all these wonderful things, but they can only be played on his instruments. Although my friend David Simons has devised a way of electronically synthesizing equivalent instruments and using them to play pieces. But anyway, I didn't want to paint myself into the corner that my pieces could only be played if you had a gamelan, and particularly if you had a gamelan that matched the tuning of mine. So I have tried to adapt what pieces I can. For instance, I mentioned the Slendro tuning is sort of like a pentatonic on a piano. But the fact is, if you take those pentatonic pieces and put them on a piano, they sound pretty dull, I think. So it's not everything can be adapted. Some pieces can.
Right. So tell us a little bit now. I have to say, this piece really rocks. Downtown Steel. And I guess the title comes from some real information about the words in the title itself, the background itself.
Let's see, where did it come from? Basically, hot rolled steel is the material from which I made my gamelan keyboard instruments. They're supplemented by some Indonesian instruments, too. But anyway, you go down to a steel manufacturer, steel distributor, and you get a sheet of hot rolled steel of 4 feet by 8 feet, take it into a shop, have it cut up into strips, the strips cut up into bars, and then you can tune it by sticking each piece in a vise and whacking it with a hammer, as per very exact instructions.
Yeah.
So I named the preceding piece Hot Rolled Steel. It also had another influence, which was the group Steely Dan. Steely Dan was one of the influences on the piece, not the ensemble particularly in itself, but I guess the drumming of Steve Gadd particularly, because it had this very spacious element in certain pieces where you go along very light, and it was just a beautiful texture. So I wanted to use that texture. The piece is also based on bell change ringing, which comes from England, and that was used for the structure of the piece. There's also elements of Indian classical development where you have very slow, then you have a medium section, and then you have a fast section.
Right.
So all of that went into the original piece, and this is mainly taking away the gamelan instruments and transferring it to a wind and percussion ensemble.
And this is the Downtown Ensemble.
Right.
And we are going to hear Downtown Steel, dating from 1993, by my guest Barbara Benary. This is from a New World Records compact disc titled Sun on Snow. The entire CD is devoted to her music. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Downtown Steel by my guest Barbara Benari, as performed by the Downtown Ensemble, a New World Records compact disc. Well, Barbara, welcome back.
Thank you. An
exciting piece of music. And it was great to have you here and explain it. And it's great to have you here also. I was actually very excited when that recording of New World Records came out, because I had known some of your music earlier. And we'll talk about one of those pieces in just a couple of minutes. However, I know there are probably listeners that will be interested in learning more about you. They can, of course, go to your website. And that website address is...
Okay, I'm sharing a web address with the Gamelan, so it's www.gamelansonoflion.org. And to get to me, you put a slash bbenari.html.
Okay, and so that's where you can find more information, and there'll also be link on the playlist for my program on my website directly to your site as well. So it might be a little bit easier if people want to quickly, I guess, jump to your stuff and have a quick fix by looking at it all, I guess. But it will be there. The link will be there. Now, you also were mentioning something about a webcast that you were involved with. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So we are being encouraged by our funders of various sorts to get with the technological age. And one of our composers, David Simons, is doing a graduate program which involves him learning about all kinds of media things, which we are going to incorporate immediately. And one of the projects which he suggested and which we are going to do concerns our 9/11 piece. Mm-hmm. We are going to do a web broadcast from our studio near the World Trade Center. We'll play live, and we'll probably also have some interviews interspersed in there. And we're going to web broadcast it, which means we need to get a little engineering crew together and find a cooperative server or source to work with us. It's scheduled for 9/11 at 4 p.m., so you can find out where it will be on the web by going to our Gamelan's homepage, www.gamelansonoflion.org, and the information will be there.
Very good. Well, that sounds very, very exciting. And I thought what we would do next is go to a piece. Actually, this was the first piece of yours that I heard a number of years ago. I was at the now defunct Tower Records in New York downtown, and I was always interested in finding unique recordings in that. And I was very interested in Gamelan music, thanks to the wonderful work of Lou Harrison, mm-hmm. who did so much. And you knew Lou Harrison. Tell me your... Do you have any memories of him specifically?
Okay. He lived on the West Coast. I lived on the East Coast. So we met only intermittently. But in 1974, I spent a couple of months at a summer school, American Society for Eastern Arts, or ASEA, in Berkeley. And I went there because a lot of my ethnomusicology friends were there as performers or as students, and I was just on vacation. But I met Lou Harrison there. He was on the faculty, and he was teaching about what he did, I imagine. I didn't see the whole course, but one of the wonderful things he did when he was there is he decided to get everybody involved in new music for Gamelan. So he donated the use of his instruments so nobody would complain that we were being unkind to traditional instruments. And on his set of instruments, he invited all the students there, or composers, to write a new piece. And we all did, and we did this lovely concert at ASEA. So that was the beginning of our friendship. And we corresponded. I saw him whenever he came to the East Coast. And I thought very highly of him. And also, I had the opportunity in subsequent years to play with our Gamelan 5 or 6 of his pieces, some of which are real hits that we've revived over and over.
Really, yeah. One thing that is so, I think, interesting about Lou Harrison is that stylistically, he went all over the place. I mean, he wrote all these wonderful pieces for Gamelan. He wrote some pieces for these Gamelans with choir. But he also wrote pieces a la Schoenberg, too. You know, he went really all over the area. But I think, you know, when I think of Lou Harrison, I think mostly of Eastern, the inspiration of Eastern music, even with his orchestral pieces. Yeah. He had that influence of the gamelan when he was writing for the orchestra. But a very a wonderful composer whom we don't hear enough of. I don't think we really don't hear enough of. And, well, let's go. That was kind of like a long story going back to the CD I found at the CD store. mostly Slendro Passacaglia. This was the first work of yours, Barbara, that I heard. And tell us a little bit about the background of this piece. I mean...
Okay. I wrote it as an entr'acte for my opera Carna. It was basically a piece that I wrote, and I said, you know, this doesn't fit in with anything. What am I doing? I'm doing a Baroque piece. And it turned out it's a very easily adapted piece. I've used it a lot of times in a lot of contexts. So it uses a combination of the Slendro and Pelag tunings that come fairly close to something that could be heard as diatonic. It's, again, based on a little process structure. You have these five notes of Slendro, and so I kind of scrambled those five notes into a certain order, did mm-hmm. it forwards and then backwards, and that's the bass line. Mm-hmm. And then I just made up melodies that go against it.
That's wonderful. It's a wonderful piece, I think, a way to get into a class on Baroque music, something a little more exotic, you know, something right. that would be open students' ears a little bit. We hear this now. This is Mostly Slendro Passacaglia by my guest Barbara Benary, as performed by Gamelan, Son of Lion. Thank you. You were listening to music by my guest, Barbara Benari. That was her mostly Slendro Passacaglia as performed by Gamelon, Son of Lion. Well, Barbara, I have to tell you, I loved that piece when I heard it the first time, and I still do after a number of years. It's just a wonderful, the whole feeling of the Baroque form comes through so clearly, but with such a different sound. Mm. You know, it's a wonderful piece, and I'm glad that we were here so that we could share it and hear it again today. Well, let's go now briefly about the Gamelon, the ensembles in general. How many are there? Not how many, but are there many of them like Gamelon, Son of Lion here in America?
That's a good question. Like is a matter of degree.
Yeah.
There are, as far as how many instruments, I've never counted that. When I first started trying to keep track of that very question, this was back in around 1980 or so, I started just listing all of the sets of instruments. And then after a while, I realized if I was going to publish this, a lot of people wouldn't want the world to know that they had a gamelan in their closet. It was nobody's business. However, I figured if it was a performing group, they would want everybody to know about them.
Yeah.
So I put together the first listing in the Ear magazine, a defunct new music magazine, which was based first in California, then in New York. In 1983, it came out with a list of about, must have been like somewhere close to 100 groups. No, 100 groups. The number hasn't changed a whole lot, but I am a little more rigorous about there being real groups of people and people that wanted to have their listings. Mm-hmm. But now that same list is maintained online by the American Gamelon Institute. And you can find it on the website www.gamelon.org. And from the front page there, you just look under directories. And there's a directory for America, which myself and several other people try to keep up to date.
This day and age, are colleges getting more involved with this type of an ensemble than maybe 30 years ago, 25 years ago?
Yes and no. I don't know what to say about that. There seemed to be in the 70s or so this big explosion of everybody needed to have some kind of thing. And there is much more ethnomusicology being taught in colleges all over the place. But as for maintaining an actual gamelan ensemble, you know, a lot of new ones have come and a lot of the old ones have disappeared.
Yeah.
So I think the number has stayed sort of around the same. For the U.S., it's still somewhere close to 100.
Yeah. And one replaces the other, almost kind of that type of a deal.
Programs close.
Degree.
Yeah. The colleges change their priorities.
Right. Well, let's go now to, before we go to another piece of music, let's, this whole thing about new music and classifying it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it jazz? Is it rock inspired? Is it concert music? Is it classical? Is it world music? Is it new age? Is it? What do you classify the music we're hearing today of gamelan music, which you can kind of look at it, in other words, if you were looking for a traditional maybe gamelan ensemble, you might find it in, let's say, a world music section.
Yes.
Now, if we're looking at for a piece by Gamelon, Son of Lion, this is new music by living composers. Would that be in more of a classical segment? I don't know if there's really a definite answer for
this.
Right,
a good thing Tower Records doesn't exist anymore.
That's
right.
Where would you go? Would you file this music?
Personally, I myself would file it under contemporary classical music.
Yeah.
But basically, the real definition really would be, if there could be such a category as gamelan, that's where I would put it.
Well, yeah.
Because I believe a gamelan can play the whole gamut from classical Indonesian music right up to rock and pop.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, this last year, my group made it our project to do a program of covers. People dredged out all their favorite songs from bands of our childhood, 60s, 70s, And damn it if they didn't arrange them for gamelan. And the audience loved it.
Tell me
it was,
just a few of the songs, some of the stuff that was presented.
Well, we didn't do Wipeout. I tried doing that once.
Bring back the safaris. Go ahead.
The Beatles song, what was it called? Helter Skelter. We did Helter Skelter. We did, I did a piece which is sort of based on a Steely Dan piece, but I messed with it a whole lot, so
yeah,
it's not exactly sounding like it. What else was the other one? I'm blanking out on this. Anyhow, go to our website. I'm going to put links to some of the recordings.
Are things, is this available? There's no CD of this whole.
No, and it probably will not be a CD of that concert, but our concert performance we did record, and that's going to be online for a while, not forever, but.
Yeah. Like so I said, the audience had to love that.
They really did.
New sounds with the old rock and roll, you know, rock stuff. And how could you not love that? Especially when you hear the real colors and the real rhythms going on here and the sounds. Mm. It's hard not to like that, you know. Very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting. Let's go now, Barbara, to another one of your works on the New World Records compact disc. And Barang 2, written in 1975. This is a piece for two clarinets. Why don't you take over?
Okay, this piece was written initially for recorders, and ultimately I decided it could be any two instruments. Mm-hmm. It was performed once with electric guitar and clarinet, and version is done by two clarinets. Stephen Silverstein, my husband, and Peter Thompson, who is a very talented student who went on to Eastman School of Music. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hear this music, Barang 2, by my guest Barbara Benari. And I think it should also be pointed out that this work was written in 1975, 1 year before the beginning of Gamelan, Son of Lion. I guess a little trivia.
Yeah, and let me also add that the name Barang is the name of a Javanese mode, which if you put it, translated it to the piano, would be da 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 da.
I love that sound.
It's sort
wonderful.
Of big, it's used in Japan a bit. Yeah. So.
Well, we hear this. Go ahead, okay. Barbara.
No, that's right.
Oh, okay. We listen now to this music by my guest, Barbara Benari. You were just listening to music by my guest, Barbara Benari. That was Barang Tu, dating from 1975. In that performance, our clarinetists were Stephen Silverstein and Peter Thompson. Another selection from the New World Record CD devoted to the music by my guest, Barbara Benari. I would like you to know that you can visit my website if you have any questions or want any information about the selections I played today on both Classical Discoveries and Classical Discoveries Goes Avant Garde. The address of my site is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlist for today's program will be posted by this evening. Also, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, Barbara, we have like another minute before we get to the music. What would you wanted to share something with some of your recent activities, something you're involved
with? Well,
this
is now basically an upcoming piece that I'm working on right now. It's for an ensemble called the Flexible Orchestra, founded by Daniel Good and Bill Hillerman. And what's flexible about it is that the idea of it is to get a large bunch of one kind of instrument and a scattering of a few others. The first year they did it, it was, I think, 8 cellos and 3 other instruments. And they did 2 years of cellos, and then they did 2 years of flutes. And now they're doing accordions.
Oh, love it.
Oh, they did trombones, too. I forgot that one. Oh. Accordions. So I heard the when they did the concert last year, mm-hmm. and it was very wonderful. And I said, I know this wonderful poem about accordions, and I would really love to do a piece for the Flexible Orchestra about the piece, the poem. And the poem is called Accordingly by the poet Stephen Roxbury, who's based in Washington State. And it's a Gertrude Stein type of poem with a lot of alliteration and interesting use of words.
Well,
and so it's according to, that's one of the phrases in it, and then it evolves into accordions, instruments.
Sounds exciting. Well, Barbara, I want to thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
It was wonderful to have you. It's been a total delight. And I hope that listeners got a good idea a little more about this whole gamelan thing, what that's about.
Good.
And I think they did. We're going to sign off now with one more piece by my guest, Barbara Benari. This is Jiggle Lullaby, as performed by Gamelan, Son of Lion. Have a great day, and I will actually be back Monday morning at 8:30 for another installment in my series, Treasures of Early Music, and do hope you can join me for that.
Kadal hajin mi suhra.